This is Colorado Matters from KCFR News. I'm Ryan Warner. Pueblo is about to embark on an experiment to get health insurance for working people. In many cases, these folks make too much to qualify for government programs, but too little to afford private coverage. This pilot program is similar to one in Muskegon, Michigan, which we'll hear about. Chris Adams is director of health initiatives at the Kavar Foundation, which is leading the effort. He spoke with Dan Myers.
Chris, welcome to Colorado Matters. What type of person falls into this coverage gap?
The type of person that would be covered through the program that we're developing in Pueblo are people who work in firms based in Pueblo, usually smaller firms, firms that would have a fairly low median wage, about $12 per hour, and folks who are not offered insurance right now and currently do not have insurance. One of the goals of this program is to reach that very difficult population, the low-income uninsured, folks who make just a little bit too much for public programs such as Medicaid or SCHIP, but don't typically have jobs that have employer offer of insurance.
And SCHIP is a state and federal program that offers coverage for children.
Exactly, up to a slightly higher income level than Medicaid.
For your program, how many people in Pueblo would be eligible, would be affected?
We don't have definitive information on this, but the Colorado Health Institute did some studies that indicate there are approximately 14,000 people who would meet the broad income and eligibility criterion for this program. And we think in the first year we can cover about 400 people. In the second year, we think we can cover about 600 or 700 people. And by the third year, we think we'll have over 1,000 folks covered.
How does the program work?
We're very closely modeling our effort on a successful program called Access Health in Muskegon, Michigan, that was developed through the 90s. And it is a community-based program that involves a broad cross-section of the community, hospitals, physicians, businesses, human service providers, in creating a community-based nonprofit that offers coverage services to those folks who fall between in that gap between public programs and employer programs. The cornerstone of this program is that it's called a multi-share, which means that the monthly cost of providing the program is divided roughly equally between the employee, who would be the user of the services, the healthcare services, the employer. In most cases, employers actually do want to provide health care coverage to their employees, but they just can't find a way to afford it because it's so expensive, and the community. And what the community means is any number of sources. It could mean philanthropic sources. It could mean eligible government fundings from state, federal, or local funding. Hospitals in Pueblo have agreed to use some of the money that they get to pay for uncompensated care to funnel it into this coverage program to help make it more available to those who currently don't have coverage.
Is it insurance?
It's not insurance. It's coverage. And one of the reasons why we're basing our program on Muskegon, Michigan, is that they've been in operation since about the year 2000, and they've had about a 4% increase over that whole period of time. Insurance during that same period has gone up about 80%. And so this program is a community nonprofit. It's locally owned and locally controlled, and it can do things that insurance can't do to reach this population. For example, there's an interaction with Medicaid. So this program is intended to provide people with healthcare services, but not necessarily the guarantee of services that would come by being an insured product. So, for example, if somebody qualifies for a public program while they're on this, the program would help facilitate them onto that public coverage. The most obvious example is a woman who might be covered by this who gets pregnant. If you're in Colorado and you're not pregnant and you're childless, Medicaid eligibility is around 50% of the poverty level. But if you're pregnant, it goes up quite a bit. So a lot of the people who would be in our target market, this low-income uninsured, would then qualify for Medicaid so that they would get essentially public coverage for this relatively high-cost period of their lives. And then after that, they would come back onto the program. So by this not being insurance, it draws on the goodwill and the commitment of the entire community to try and solve a problem that is currently not being solved either by public programs or by the private sector.
Let's talk specifically about the type of person who might be in this coverage. Who are we talking about?
Well, the types of workers that we think will be most likely to benefit from this are people who work in industries such as childcare or long-term care or in restaurants or in retail. They're jobs that are fairly low pay and typically don't have an employer offer of insurance. We did a focus group with workers at a bike store in Pueblo, and had a conversation with them about whether or not they would see this as being valuable to them, and would they be willing to come up with the $50 that's their share. And we talked with the owner of the bike store, who said he would clearly be able to come up with $50 for his part, because they saw great value in having insurance. But insurance of this quality and of this comprehensiveness would cost $200 to $400, depending on how old you are and if you have a prior health history.
So what did the employees tell you exactly at this bike shop?
Well, it was interesting because the employees ranged from about 19-year-old bike racers who were fixing bikes and selling bikes in order to sort of support their hobby, to a woman who was in her 40s who was really an outstanding bicycle mechanic, who said, Every day I face the choice between keeping the job I love, which is fixing bikes and working in this environment that she enjoys, and taking a job that has health insurance. Now, the 19-year-olds, everybody talks about the 19-year-old invincibles, especially males. They certainly don't see the need to spend $150, $200 on a health coverage program. But when we had a conversation with them about what the benefits would actually be and engaged them in some discussion about what they would most like to see covered, every single one of them said that they would find room in their budget for $50 to $75 to pay for this coverage, and they thought that it had great value.
Let me get you to just break down these numbers we're talking about. Under the model you have for your plan, what's the total cost and who pays how much of it?
We don't know this for certain because we haven't completely designed the benefit package, but we're looking at a total cost of somewhere between about $150 and $180 a month. And we would roughly divide that number by three and ask the employer to pay for $50 to $65, the employee to pay for $50 to $65, and then the community through whatever variety of funds, most likely hospital funding.
It's being tried in Muskegon, Michigan. I guess they have a bit of a track record there now. How is it working?
It's been working phenomenally well. And part of it, I think, is that it was really born through this community process. Muskegon, Michigan began having conversations about what they could do as a local community shortly after the Clinton reform effort failed. And they said, you know what, we really can't wait for some other entity, the state or the federal government or anybody else, to save us. We need to figure this out now. And they came up with a locally based community nonprofit that would offer this high-quality coverage that has the backing of really the entire healthcare community. 97% of the physicians in Muskegon participate in this plan, as do both hospitals, that has been working and solvent and has been improving people's health and the economic stability of the community since 2000. They have about 1,200 to 1,300 people who are consistently covered through this program. So it doesn't solve the problem for the entire population, but it solves it for a significant number of people.
Before we get to Pueblo, which I want to do in a second, let's stay in Muskegon. Is it cost-effective in some demonstrable way?
What people have actually seen is that this almost serves like a starter house, that people who really don't have access to insurance are all of a sudden getting a more coordinated health care. And very often, as their life circumstances improve and they get a different job that is in the type of category where it's more likely that you'll get health insurance through your work, they move seamlessly onto that. And it's actually turned out to be a good relationship for everyone. The hospitals like it because it keeps people healthier. Businesses like it because they're able to provide what's often associated with one of their responsibilities, which is to provide health care. And most importantly, the people who are getting the care are much better off. They feel like they finally got something available to them other than just showing up in an emergency room when they're very, very sick.
Why try this in Pueblo, of all the places in Colorado?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. Pueblo has a high awareness of healthcare issues. It's also a good pilot, we believe, because it's big enough that if we're able to succeed there, it will serve as a good demonstration to other parts of the state. But it's also not so big that it's unwieldy. It's because Pueblo is, 30 miles or so from Colorado Springs. It's kind of its own entity, and we think it's a good place to sort of try this and really change the culture about how people think about health and healthcare, work with the providers, and having it be a little bit cohesive, I think, is very helpful to us in terms of really trying to do something that's fundamentally different.
One of the recurring complaints about healthcare is simply that the cost rises very, very quickly, the cost of insurance especially, but of care in general. How do you keep your costs down under this program? Is it different than the rise in insurance?
It is in some significant ways. And I've alluded to one of the most important ways already, which is to essentially use existing public programs as a de facto reinsurance. So someone's life circumstances change because they get very ill while they're on this plan. This plan would never drop them just because they got ill. But take the example of somebody who gets cancer and is unable to work. Well, that person's income has just dropped a great deal. And so what this plan would do would be to, when this person's eligible, facilitate this person onto Medicaid or some other public program, and the public program would then pay for a lot of the most expensive care. And then hopefully if things go well, this person gets well and is welcomed back onto the coverage program. So it's really seamless care. Some other ways that they save money is that they have a huge emphasis on wellness and prevention. Say that somebody needs to have a knee replacement and the person weighs 400 pounds. This particular program would say, you know, we will help you with that, but we also think you need to lose weight. And, you know, really, as a part of being a part of this program, we're actually going to require you to at least go to weight loss cessation classes. And insurance companies have a little bit less ability to do that because of the entitlement to benefits that their members have.
So an emphasis on prevention and then an awareness of when somebody might qualify, at least temporarily, because of a condition for a government program that would move them off of your program.
Absolutely.
Chris, thank you so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Chris Adams is Director of Health Initiatives for the Kavar Foundation. He spoke with Dan Myers.